Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Well, I'm just going to speak briefly before Ken. And Lord put on my heart to share with you guys the reason I'm on the decorating committee, the reason that we did the back wall the way we did, because there's a prophetic meaning to it. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to share what he's been speaking to me over the years about his glory, and that there would be power in our agreement, because there is power in agreement. There's power in us declaring together. What?
Go ahead.
Oh.
You can see better.
Okay. I'm short. Anyway, there's power in us agreeing and having the same purpose and speaking it forth. And so a while back, the Lord gave me the scripture, "I believe, therefore I speak." It's in 2 Corinthians 4:13. We believe, therefore we speak. So there's power in us speaking forth and declaring. And so that's kind of what this is about. And so this is from my journey with the Lord, what he's been speaking to me. Many of you could get up and probably share what God's been speaking to you about the glory. God's been confirming it through Bob and Dave's preaching and through all different things. The songs today, I'm like, Lord, wow, they're all about your glory. And so I believe God really wants to do something in our house and in our city to do with his glory. And so I'm just going to let the words that he's spoken speak for themselves, because I don't have time to elaborate today. So for me, kind of what my recollection is, it started in 1994. And I was in Israel with my husband, with a group, and it was at the Church of Visitation. And I was in the church, the glory of the Lord fills the temple. That was just coming to me. I was thinking about that. And so I was like, I asked God, what is your glory? And this is what he said to me. He said, "My glory is my power, my presence, and all my grace is manifested for man to see on earth to the degree that man can take, and it comes in different ways and different varying degrees as I choose. Soon all flesh, all men shall see the glory of the Lord with their own eyes. My glory will come upon those humble of heart and will give all the glory and honor to me. It will rest on them, and men shall know they are my instruments to bring my love, my words, my healing, my power, my presence, my forgiveness, and my graces to my beloved people who are living in the darkness of the world and the prisons of the enemy. I am calling you to be my instruments. Will you answer? Will you be like Mary, like John the Baptist, like all the men and women of before who paid that price and said yes?" That's kind of what God's been speaking to us as a body, that we are the instruments of his glory. And so then forward into 2004, and this is kind of where it started about declaring. At one of our church services, I don't remember how many weeks, every time I'd come to church, I kept hearing the phrase, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God." And I was just hearing that. I was like, okay, Lord, yeah, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's in one of the Psalms, and looked it up. And then this one day I came in and I was hearing it again, and then the Lord just elaborated more. And he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. This church declares the glory of God. You will sing of the glory of God," which we did today. "You will speak of the glory of God. Jesus declared the glory of the Father. You shall also. The glory of the Father will be revealed." Lord, we claim that. "You will feel it, you will taste it, you will see it. My glory will come. It will rest here and you will declare it. Let my glory come. The heavens declare the glory of God. Living Waters declares the glory of God. My people declare the glory of God." So that's kind of what this is about. It's like if we could put an exclamation point after the glory. We're declaring the glory of God here.
That's right. Amen.
And then in 06, when Gregory and Galena were here, I had just heard more. I won't read the whole thing, but he again was saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And here he was saying more that it's going to rise upon us. My people shall declare the glory, and my glory shall rise upon you. It will be seen on you. Did I not say I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled? That's in Luke 12. I tell you that you are kindled. The fire has started. The fire is upon you. It is within you. It will be shut up in your bones. It will fill you. It will be seen upon you. This fire will be in your families, your friends, your city, your nation. Fan it into flame. I blow on you. Stir it up. Stoke the fire. And he was talking about rise up, for the glory of my fire anointing has risen upon you. You do not belong to the kingdom of this earth, but to my kingdom. And there's lots of, I got to watch my time. I'm alive, I have a lot of time. Okay. So scriptures, Ephesians 2, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Isaiah 60, he really led me to, is to rise above our circumstances. Arise, it's from the Amplified, from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And it says that again. So you hear all this, and the Lord did a neat thing for me. A few weeks later, this was in March of 06, and then the next week, my sisters invited me to go to Living Word to hear Lynn Hammond preach. She was sharing a night, and I didn't really feel like going, but I ended up going. And it was like, oh, wow, God, I was supposed to be here. And because she just totally confirmed the whole thing about declaring his glory. The scripture she was basing on was John 11:40, where it says, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? And so her whole thing was talking about contending. I'm just going to read from my notes just really quick. So it's just a confirmation. She said, contending, it's a yearning of the heart. It comes from within the heart, not just praying words. And the church needs to rise up. Okay, there's God saying, rise up. We need to rise up and speak. We need to rise up and believe. She gave the example of Daniel, that he set his face like flint to believe for the freedom. You know, they were the prophetic words, they were going to be in captivity for 70 years, and then that time was up. So he set his face like flint to fast and to believe for that. This move will not come just because you want it. It will come with great sacrifice, she said. And then this is the whole thing. We must call for this. We must declare this. We must contend for this. So I was like, okay, God, you are speaking, you know, we need to declare. I mean, it was good for me because sometimes you hear stuff from the Lord and we just kind of say, oh, that's a nice word, you know. But God wants us to believe it and speak it out. There's power in our voices. I won't read everything. Matthew, the violent take it by force. You never possess something wealth without going after it. Be single-minded to the glory. The Lord challenged her to take the prophecy spoken of about their church and to speak them out. If you want more, you begin to put it in your heart. Talk to yourself about the glory. Declare, we believe, we speak. It will become a burning fire within us. See, there it is again. That's that burning fire. We can't be satisfied with smaller moves, and that's kind of what Marcy's been saying, to believe for the more. And so then, this, how many years later, in 09, I was sitting in church pondering the back wall of the church because we wanted to do something. And I saw the Lord start giving me a picture of these pillars. And actually, I saw a rainbow going over the top, which was kind of hard to do aesthetically. But you can imagine the rainbow going over the... And I knew God was signifying the covenant and the promises of God. And then I saw the pillars coming down. And it was with the revelation of building the temple, the presence of the Lord, within us individually and also corporately. So that's kind of what this is about. And again, I heard, or the scripture came to me in, I don't think I wrote down the scripture. Oh, yeah, Psalm 29:9. While in his temple, everyone is crying glory. So it's like we're in his temple, and we're all crying glory. Glory to God. Glory, your glory, Lord, is upon us. And other times I heard the glory will be seen. We declare his glory is upon us, and we will be a temple of his presence. an intercession for our city. One of the young men, too, had a word one night. We were declaring army of glory carriers. I believe that God's going to just, he's pouring into us to pour out of us, that we would become army of glory carriers to bring his presence to the world. And so, and Chuck Pierce, when he was here, if any of you remember, all I had in my notes is he said our house was going to be a glory house. And so to me, again, that was a confirmation. And when we went to Redding, California, our team that went, when they prayed over us, I know they didn't get the word, I didn't write notes because we all fell out in the spirit, but I just remember they were talking about our church, about the glory, and I was like, oh, okay, God, this is real. I'm going to believe for this. So I just wanted to share that, and that you guys could be in agreement and be declaring. And God has challenged me recently again to begin to speak that out when I'm driving in the city, when I'm praying for our family. So let's just declare the glory of God over our church. Yeah. Father, we declare the glory of God over our city. We declare the glory of God over our families, God. We declare the glory of God over our businesses, Father. We declare your glory over the government, Lord, of this city, Lord, and the government of our nation, God. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just declare the little song ditty you gave me in Ukraine, that the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Spirit, three in one. The glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Spirit, three in one. Thank you, God. Glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Spirit, three in one. Hallelujah. Amen.
Test, there we go. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love the glory of God. I love his presence. The cloud of glory. You know, the Bible says that the Israelites saw God in a cloud by day and a fire by night. You know, we have signs of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now manifests in many ways like that. He manifests in our midst. You know, Bob preached a few weeks ago that the kingdom of God is within us. So we see the kingdom of God within us, but we also see the kingdom of God around us. We see the kingdom of God manifest. And the Holy Spirit's shown me that over the years. He likes to manifest in different ways. I don't always understand that. But one time we'll see the Holy Spirit come as a dove. You know, and the day of Pentecost, they seen him come as a dove. When Jesus was baptized in a river, they seen the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove. And then other times we see the Holy Spirit come as fire. You know, we were praying before the service and we got a word that the Holy Spirit was coming as fire. We saw Ezekiel chapter 1 where Jesus, Ezekiel sees the Son of Man. It says his lower half was ablaze with fire. You know, that's that passion, that fire that Jesus Christ has for us. That fire that brings the glory, that fire. You know, we could have a negative connotation of fire. We can, you know, because, you know, Elijah called down fire and people were burnt right before him, right from heaven, you know. But there's a Holy Ghost fire. There's a fire that shut up in our bones. There is a fire that John the Baptist said that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. I don't even totally understand that. All I know, there's fire shut up in my bones. All I know is I can't stop. All I know is I've got this baptism fire and I just can't let go of Jesus. There's a fire that God wants to bring on the earth. Jesus says, oh, and how I wish it was a blazing already. He wishes it was a blazing. Oh, it says and I think it's in Isaiah, Daniel saw a fiery stream issuing forth from the throne of God. There's a fire. There's a fire that God wants to touch you with. There's a fire. I was in Chicago one time. I don't know if I've shared this here, but we were in Chicago a few years ago. We were ministering. And I walked into the room. I saw pillars of fire all over the place. And people were just getting touched. It was just, it boggled my brain. I could see into the Spirit. And I saw pillars of fire. I'm not even sure what that all was. I know the Holy Spirit was there. And sometimes it says as angels come as ministers of fire. So we don't understand all these things. Ezekiel in chapter 1 sees this whirlwind. I've seen in the spirit a whirlwind of fire. God wants to consume you with this whirlwind of fire. In that whirlwind of fire, there's healing. In that whirlwind of fire, there's restoration. Huh. When Elijah went up to heaven, he was taken up. Yeah, okay, I'm getting overtaken here. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind of fire. It says a fiery horse came and a fiery chariot came, and Elijah was taken up in that whirlwind of fire. Brian read earlier that Jesus' eyes were ablaze with fire. That fire is for you. That fire is to penetrate your very being. That fire, he wants you to look in the, yeah, he wants you to look in the eyes of his love. But he also wants you to look into fiery eyes of his presence, his spirit, to very penetrate your being. And he stood amongst the lampstands, it says in Revelation, what Brian read earlier. He stood amongst the lampstands. He stood amongst lampstands, or fire, okay, ablaze. We don't even know what that looks like. So we know there's thunderings. I heard a word last night. The Lord says, I heard a thunder in heaven. I'm sorry, I didn't get a word. I heard in the Spirit a thunder. Whew. Boy, God is just, he's passionate about us. Hallelujah. So, that's not what I actually was going to preach today, but that's pretty... But I just love the Holy Spirit. And God's been taking me through a journey. Let me just turn to Mark chapter 4. Sometimes it's hard work for as a minister when you're just used to flowing and just, you know, I just love the flow, but sometimes it's hard work to pull back and just say, let's take this word and look at it. And that's what we're going to do a little bit. And I know, because I know the Word of God is powerful, and I know the Word of God is going to penetrate you, and the Word of God is going to change you, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. So when I preach the Word, it's Jesus. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, verse 3. And this will actually tie in. Jesus says, this is Jesus talking. My Bible, it's in red. Okay, if you got one of those red editions. It's Jesus talking. He says, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much. Lord, let me talk. He did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased in produce, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And Jesus said, verse 9, and he said to him, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11, I'm just going to skip through some verses here. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To you it's been known, it's been given. Verse 13, go to 4:13. He says to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. I'm going to read it again. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The Lord is making, nowhere in Scripture have I found, it starts out in verse, in 4:3, he says, listen. Jesus saying, this is really, really important. Listen. And my Bible has an explanation mark behind it. Okay? Listen. And then he says in verse 9, I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. In verse 9, he says, and he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying, let you hear what this parable is saying. Hear what this parable is saying. Now, I've been looking at this parable for 20 years. The Lord pointed this out to me 20 years ago. And for me, some of us, where am I? You know, it's kind of like, okay, am I in the rich soil or am I getting choked up? But there's, I want to go somewhere with this, even beyond what this parable says, it's the importance of the word. It's importance. The sower is, sows the word. Jesus says in 4:13, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, if you can't get this, I don't know if you're going to get anything else. And that's basically what he's saying. If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the rest? If we don't understand the importance of the word of God in our hearts, the importance of putting the word in us, the importance of sowing into our lives, sowing into us the word. And that's Jesus, but it's also, there's discipline involved with it. If we can't get the importance of that, we're going to get, you know, how are we going to get the rest? That's what the Lord's saying. Now, how does that fit with what I started preaching about the glory, okay, and the fire? And that's kind of, I want to balance this out, because what I actually started here fits what I'm preaching here. It may not sound like it, but it does. There's a book written in 1998 by R.T. Kendall and Paul Kane. And it's called The Spirit and the Word. And in the book, they're talking about different movements of the Spirit. And different movements. I'm not sorry. Well, yeah, it would be of the Spirit. But different movements. And how, you know, we got the word movements. We've seen that. The Word of Faith movement, which is awesome. All of them are God, okay? And then we got Holy Ghost, which I came in, the Holy Ghost movement, the charismatic movement, okay? And what the Lord's been showing me, we have, it says in Psalm 23, he sets a table before us in the sight of our enemies. I see this banqueting table, okay? I eat a little too much, but I try not to go to buffets. But the Bible says we're not supposed to buffet, we're supposed to buffet our flesh. But that's a but I like the buffet, okay? And he sets a table before us. When I see that table, I believe it's feasting time, okay? That's what I see on a table. Maybe you see something else. But I just see, you know, the goodness of God, and there's meat and whatever and desserts. And you know, when I see this banqueting table, we can't live just on dessert. You ever try that? Man, you get sick. I mean, you ever do that in Christmas? Eat dessert one day after another? You just can't live there. I mean, you actually start to crave healthy food. So on this end of the table is the meat, you know. And have you ever tried just living on beef? I've done that too. And you just live off the beef and eat the beef and eat the beef. And oh my gosh, after about 3 days of that, you just, you know, you got to want, it's just, you hunger for vegetables. Or you're back to want the sweets again, but. You know, God, in these end times, I believe what he's showing me is balance is really going to be important. Balancing, you know, the move we're in right now with the soaking in the God's presence, that's me, man. I mean, oh, give me every soaking CD. I can do it for hours just soak in the presence of God. But that won't necessarily bring me victory in the days to come. Because there's victory in the Word of God. There's victory what's sown in my heart by putting the Word of God. Faith, the Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. So the Lord's shown me that. I've had a series of dreams. I'll get to it in a little bit, but I've had a series of dreams where the Lord has shown me some balance, to balance things. So R.T. Kendall And Paul Cain wrote this book called The Word and the Spirit. And in the book, it's written in 1998, and they actually did a conference in 2000. But in this book, and someone gave it to me years ago, and I read it, it sounded good, you know, and but it's like, well, it's not really where we are right now, okay? And so I still have the book. But in this book, they said the end time move of God, there was going to be balance between the Word of God and the moves of the Spirit. That there was going to be a coming together and a gelling together of that. In other words, the body of Christ was going to get was going to know how to eat from the buffet table. If I can say that. That's my own words, okay? And we were going to know how to walk out, and the Holy Spirit was going to show us how to live victoriously in the Word of God, but be just so full of the glory. You know, Bob preached a month ago or whenever, one of the last times he preached, the kingdom of God from Luke. The kingdom of God is within us. That we're going to know how to tap into what's in us and how to get it out and how to live a victorious life in the glory, like Carrie's preaching, in the glory. That we would not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's lots of false doctrines. That we're going to be steadfast in the Word of God, but full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying we're not there now, okay? I'm not making that. I'm kind of telling you my story. I'm preaching my story, okay, if it fits. And I'm going to get into that a little more. So, you know, I'm kind of wrestling with this word a little bit last night. I'm like, you know, maybe it's warfare, whatever. Because it's something new. It's something that I haven't preached before. And so Carrie asked me, you know, I told her, I'm wrestling a little bit. And she asked, well, what are you preaching about? And she says, I have something I think you should see. Oh, she does that to me all the time. She's so such a blessing. She goes, I think I have something you should see. So she runs in the office, and she pulls this prophetic word out. And I'm just going to read one paragraph from it. But it's a prophetic word from Smith Wigglesworth from 1947. She had just got it sent to her by Jeff Jansen of Global Fire Ministries International. She'd got it sent to her on January 4th, okay? And basically what I am saying is what Smith Wigglesworth prophesied. I'll just read an insert from Smith Wigglesworth's prophecy. If you don't know who Smith Wigglesworth was, mighty man of God in the beginning of the century, mostly England he ministered in, but it's like old reported people raised from the dead. Just tremendous. He got through in Sweden. He got thrown in a jail because they didn't know what to do with him because he went to the hospitals and everyone got healed in a hospital. Of course, the hospitals were freaking out because their beds were emptying out. So he got thrown in jail for practicing medicine without a license. They were trying to just slow him down. So I'm hoping to have that problem someday. Praise God. So I mean, that's, and you know, I've read a lot about Smith because he walked in such a level of holiness, tremendous holiness and purity. Is really, really, he was really a man of word and spirit. Lester Summerall, I read a story by Lester Summerall. Lester Summerall died a few years ago, but Lester Summerall was a guy that was a very unique person, that he was a networker. I think he's got in fact, his kids run a TV channel now called Lucy Broadcasting. Thank you, it's hard to say. And Lester Summerall had this unique thing. He lived a span of life that he was able to meet most of the great people that we hear about, the Allens and I can't think of them all right now, but the Bosworths, and he met them all. He got to know all of them. He knew Smith Wigglesworth, spent time at Smith Wigglesworth's home. So he's got this book he wrote, Pioneers of Faith, if you want to get it. He talks about all the people he met and the relationships he had with them. So Lester Summerall, now I'm not saying we need to be like Smith Wigglesworth, but I'm just saying Smith really had a balance between word and the spirit. He was really a man sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and he just consumed the word of God. He knew in this, the Word was made flesh. He knew this Word was substance. He knew the sowing the Word into him produced a harvest. And sometimes the harvest was 30, and sometimes 60, and sometimes 100. You know, if you've got cancer, a 30-fold harvest is not going to do it. You need 100-fold. And that's where the sowing of the Word, we need to harvest. So Lester Summerall says he went and visited Smith Wigglesworth. He says, man, the guy about wore me out. I mean, he's just really being real candid. Smith has long been gone. And he says, he just want to sit for 2 hours and just, he just want to read the Word of God out loud. And he said, I'd just sit there and he'd read Psalms to me for an hour, I don't know how long. But he says the guy was just so enthralled with the Word of God. See, Smith had a revelation. He knew to do what God was calling him to do, that he needed to sow and sow and sow. See, walking this victorious life in Christ takes discipline. I'm not talking religion, okay? I'm not talking a form of godliness. I'm talking discipline from the standpoint of a better way to say it. There's a book by Richard Foster called Celebration of the Disciplines. This is written in 1978, okay? I'm going way back. And Carrie and I were in a conference in 1994 out in Colorado. And we're at this guy's conference. And I picked up this book. And Richard Foster is kind of a theologian, Holy Ghost theologian, okay, as people would call him. And what he found that in Celebration of Disciplines, that he studied all the saints throughout all the centuries, and they had common threads. And these common threads were disciplines that created freedom. We don't hear that in church very often. There's disciplines that create freedom. You sow and God will not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God will not, whatever you sow, you will reap. If we sow in discipline, you know, bridle our flesh and get it down, we're going to reap a harvest. And the Bible says that. So this is what Jesus said. Listen, this is important, okay? The sower is the Word. Well, let me read the rest. I'm going to start verse 13 again. Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the Word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the Word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in them. Well, how do you get root? Well, fellowship, teaching, learning, going to Bob's classes tomorrow night, or tonight. That's tonight. I'm thinking Saturday. Tonight, you know, getting root in you, but also just getting into the Word. Getting root. Praise the Lord. I lost my place. That's good. That's good. It's good. It's good. Well, these like are stony ground who, when they hear the Word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time after when tribulation or persecution arises for the Word's sake. Immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the Word, and then the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things entering in chokes the Word and becomes unfruitful. That's the one I look at all the time. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things entering and choke the Word. See, God's Word in you, we're putting the Word into you right now. It's up to us to get the harvest, okay? It's up to us to walk it out in Christ. Now remember, whenever we talk about the Word, it's synonymous with Jesus. So intimacy of Jesus is the Word, okay? So if you're just reading your Bible and it's dead, well, something on your banqueting table quite isn't right maybe yet, okay? So it's the full meal deal. It's worship. You know, coming to church sometimes is a discipline. For me, sometimes it's a discipline. Sometimes I get in the presence at home and I think, you know, well, I could just stay home today. I'm just in the presence. I'm enjoying God, you know. I'm just enjoying, but and maybe I don't feel like fellowshipping that day. You ever felt like that? I mean, sometimes. But see, corporate worship, the Word of God tells us to come together. And I know there's a blessing in it. I know there's a grace in it. I grab myself by the butt, and I get my butt here. And I've never, in all my days of walking with the Lord, I've never had not bear fruit. I've never left said, well, I wish I would just stay home. I always leave going, oh, I am so glad I came. I am so glad. See, we in doing that, we honor God. A lot of what we're talking is disciplines that bring honor to God, manifest His word in our lives. Whew, shoo, get a hold of that. Shoo, man. Ha. Oh, the life, you know, life in Christ is not always easy, but it's so rewarding. Oh, man. And yeah, we mess up, you know. How often really am I the last part of this scripture? You know, in the harvest, in the rich ground. I don't, only God knows, okay? But we just keep sowing. We keep sowing. So let me, Didn't I read it? Thank you. Boy, talking about putting a carrot on, huh? Oh, thank you, Casey. this is it. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation, indeed the world, has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has ever been witnessed within these shores. He's in England speaking. Even the Wesleyan and the Welsh revivals of former years. The outpouring of God's Spirit will flow from over the UK, that's where he's preaching from, to the mainland of Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. I would like to say, you know, think it's going to start here, but I don't care where it starts as long as God does it. So really, when Carrie gave this to me, I'm like, wow, okay, I'm going to release this word and let the Lord do with it what he wants, because it's in what the Holy Ghost, not only the Holy Spirit speaking to R.T. Kendall and Paul Kane, but also through Smith Wigglesworth, the Word and the Spirit. So let me tell you, I want to tell you about some dreams I had. How I said earlier, I forget the notes. I'm having a good time. So here's my walk. I started off 30 years ago, but maybe 25 years ago, I was really a man of the Word, more now than as a man of the Word and Spirit. I mean, this Bible, I just consumed it. I knew nothing, so I knew I needed, if I wanted to know anything, I needed to get in here. And praise God for it. I just read about people, this is what people did. They put disciplines down. I set some disciplines down. And I mean, I was probably reading the Bible an hour a day. And it dramatically impacted me. Now, yeah, it could become religious. You know, if you don't know the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, anything that I say can become a religious act. If you think that you can more favor with God. You know, I mean, there are things we could do that can bring us to an area of greater favor. So it's hard, but you've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to know that you are, Bob preached it last week, you got to know you're a son and a daughter. Because if you don't know you're a son and a daughter and you try disciplines, well, sometimes it can create bondage, okay? I mean, that's what happens to a lot of mainline denominational churches. But see, so many times we go, oh, I don't want any discipline. I mean, you know, I mean, those guys, they got their traditions and da-da-da-da, you know, so we just want to flow, and that's me. I just want to be drunk. I want to get drunk, stay drunk, and get others drunk. That's what we're ready. And that's wonderful, and that's what, there's life in that. But the Lord is showing me for the days to come, he wants us to walk in a great level of victory. There's prophetic words that are spoken over our lives, we want to see to come to pass and carry us in. We got to start declaring. We got to pull on heaven. We got to sow the word of God. And believing when we sow, receive the harvest. And it's so there's, and it sometimes it's just getting that into us. It's sowing that into us. Shoo. I remember seasons, and they're starting to come back to me, but I remember seasons I had the word of God so in me. I was so full of the word. And I'm not saying I don't read now, but not like I used to, okay? And I used to do Bible memorizing. The word of God was literally just inside of me. Just, I could get up sometimes and start preaching, and I'd preach a whole, I could give you a whole verse, a whole chapter, preach a whole chapter, and I don't ever, never memorized it. It would just come out of me. And I would just be amazed. The word of God, and it's alive. See, it's alive. This word is light. Okay? The word of God says in John 1, in him is life. In Jesus is life. And that life is a light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. When you read this word, it puts light in your soul. I remember just a few nights ago, I came home and I just... Something was, and I'm turned in this more than I've ever, I'm just like a new beginning. I'm getting my buffet table a little more balanced. And I'm turning to the word more than I have in a long time. And I just started reading it. You know, God confirms when you're going to preach something. He's really confirmed it all week to me. And something was bothering me, and I just started reading the word. I felt a warm glow in my belly. Oh my gosh, I was reading the Song of Solomon's. I read it from back to forward and back front to back. I probably read for 2 hours. It just had a Holy Ghost time with God in the Word. Oh, it's just precious. It's precious when God manifests His Word in you. Oh, that is precious. And maybe you guys experience that all the time. But so I'm going to tell you a couple dreams. And this is kind of my journey. So I start off in the 90s just consuming this. I was reading 2 chapters of the Old Testament, 2 chapters of the New Testament, 5 Psalms and a proverb every day. And when you do that, you get through the Old Testament once a year, the New Testament 3 times a year, Proverbs once a month, and Proverbs once a month. That's aggressive, okay? Now, and that's discipline, okay? That's discipline. And that could be hard. That means the TV goes off. Imagine that, you know? And maybe we're not on Facebook quite as much. Ooh. I should be on more, actually. But anyway, so it takes discipline, which creates freedom, which creates a harvest within us. So I started to get these dreams. In the 90s, I was in the Word. I think I've said that 3 times now. And then when it hit 2000, I started to reach the realm of just freedom in the glory realm. Just, you know, where all of us, a lot of us, Doug Stanton. Praise God for Doug Stanton. And somebody, Rodney Howard Brown, sat in some of his services. And I started ministering in Ukraine. And just hit realms of his presence that I've, oh, amazing. But in that walk, the Word... You know, if I could look back over 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if I really, how much time did I really spend in the Word? You know, it's just so much fun being in a river, you know? And I wasn't confessing. I used to in the 90s, just through the, in business and just the, I'd speak the Word on everything. Just, I'd have a scripture and I'd just speak to it. That kind of went by the wayside. And, you know, nothing seemed that much different. Maybe a little more warfare normal, but it's hard to know because you're going up a mountain and you're going to different levels in the Lord, and it's hard to know what's going on. But I started to get these dreams. And one set of dreams, I won't get into detail of the dreams, but oh my gosh, I could feel the dreams too. I'd get these dreams and something would be coming at me and I'd have a gun. Oh, I like having guns, man. I'd have a gun, and one time, I'm telling you, I had this dream at least 6 times. You talk about a frustrated guy. I could not get in my, it's like, at least four times. I won't exaggerate. At least four times I had this dream where something would be coming at me, and I'd take my gun and go to shoot, and I couldn't pull the trigger, or it was broken, or and the thing was, now the thing would never get me, but it was coming at me in a dream. It never, but I could feel the frustration. I was just so frustrated. And one time I was with my brother Leon, who's the president of our company. I remember having a rifle, and it was had been put back together, and it was put back together wrong, and, you know. And maybe you'll get a different interpretation. Okay, please help me. But my interpret, I felt an interpretation of that. The gun was the word of God, and I wasn't using the sword the way I used to. And I started to get back to where I was confessing the word of God, speaking the word of God, not memorizing quite, but just more in the word, and those dreams quit. Oh, thank God. So, oh, praise God. Because so I could actually wake up, I could feel the frustration. I just like, I don't want one of those dreams again. I feel so frustrated. But, so then, recently, so God kind of took me through it. I'm kind of getting back into it. Okay, but maybe I'm confessing more, memorizing more. I wrote down on a piece of paper every scripture that God had given me over the years. You know, you get to a certain point in your life, a crisis, and God gives you a word. You know, that word carries you. I had all these words throughout the years. But, you know, I say them once and or a few times or get through that and just kind of put them aside. And I wrote a whole bunch of them down. See, what the Lord has shown me is we've lost our intensity in the body of Christ. We're not as intense in the word as we used to be. We're not as intense. I'll give you an example. Last Sunday, Bob preached where I walked out of here full of faith and Holy Ghost. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Our son, our grandson Levi was in the hospital with RSVP at some respiratory, very serious for a five-month-old baby. Okay? And we went on Saturday and I prayed, Jesus heal him, and you know. Or was it Friday? Whenever we went, Friday or Saturday we went. No, it was Friday, late Friday we went. Jesus heal him, by Jesus stripes you're healed. It was a nice prayer. And, you know, I expected a miracle. Not having faith, okay? And he got worse after we left. Ticked me off, okay? But you stand in faith, believing. You know, it's a very serious where their lungs fill up with a virus. It's called RSVP. RSV. Yeah, that's yeah, RSV. Thank you. It was driving her crazy over here. That's a generational blessing on our generation. We mix things up, and my wife goes, "Where do you guys ever get that?" My dad used to do the same thing, so. It's a blessing. It makes people laugh. So anyway, so RSV. So anyway, he gets worse, and he's there. And he was supposed to be out Saturday, and he's no better. Saturday comes. Sunday comes. I'm calling Lisa. They're staying down. Lisa and Josh, our daughter and son-in-law, are staying at the hospital. And I'm sitting in church. I got ticked. Now, that's faith. Okay, you get ticked at the devil at what's going on. That can be faith, okay? I lost my intensity. I was really sweet going there. Because I've been intense before, and I get people upset, doctors or whatever, you know. And I went to a house one time and really got intense with a cancer patient, and the whole house was in a ruckus, you know. But I thought, no more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm ticked. I walk out of here, and I didn't say nothing to Carrie. I said, "We're going to go see Levi." I just was real nice. We're going to go see Levi. She goes, "What? Pray." I said, "We're going to go see Levi." She, "Well, he might be getting." We're going to go see Levi. Okay, that's our grandson. I could not wait to get there. I just couldn't wait. And the word, I had the word, and I've been looking at a scripture over and over and over and over again. This is the point I'm trying to make. It's tell me where. I think it's Mark 4:11. No, 11:14. I know where it is if I turn my Bible. But it's the one where Jesus cursed the fig tree. Yeah, yeah, Mark 11:22-23. But before that, he cursed the fig tree, and then he says, if you say to the mountain, I wasn't getting saying to the mountain, I was getting, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Jesus cursed, that was coming to me. Jesus cursed the fig tree. I just couldn't wait to get there. So, because that's what was coming to me. The word of God is starting to manifest. See, I had sown it in. And now we're getting a harvest. So I couldn't wait to get there. And I walked in, and I didn't even want to talk to anyone. I just said, and I went over and I cursed that virus. I cursed it. Jesus cursed the fig tree. I said, Jesus cursed the fig tree and commanded it to die, and it died. And I curse you, and I command you to die. And I just knew it was done. That was it. By the end of the day, he was almost 100% clear. Next morning, he was 100% clear. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I feel sometimes I'm preaching, I'll put up a mirror. We've lost our intensity. And man, we've got to be, to go where we're going, we've got to be intense. We've got to, and don't, I mean, we can get goofy intense, okay? So don't, hear my heart. There's times where we need to be intense. There's most of the time we need to be drunk, okay? So, so balance the buffet. Just keep remembering the buffet table, okay? Okay, don't get on the dessert and stay there. Don't get in the meat with a big turkey bone in your hand and you want to pound on, you know, just balance meal. Try to balance this. So, I just sense, I have a little bit of time. I just sense the redirect. Did I read the rest of it? No. I'm going to read the rest of this. 4:15. Did I read that yet? I don't think so. I'm getting a little drunk, so and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is. Jesus explained now. Did I read that already, the whole thing? I did. Okay, I did. Praise God, I did. I thought I did. Yeah, he went to 30, 60 fold. Yes. And then Jesus says in 4:26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. I just want to make an emphasis. He keeps talking about seed sowing, the word of God sowing. In verse 27, and should sleep by night, verse 27, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. I can't explain what I'm preaching up here, guys. I can't explain how it works. I know it works. I know if I sow, I know the principle works. If I sow the word of God in me, I'm going to reap a harvest. And sometimes it's 30, and sometimes it's 60, and sometimes it's 100. And I think Jesus wanted to keep going, actually, but he didn't need to. And 1,000, okay, 1,000-fold. I can't explain it, but it's just like I was gonna bring. You know how it's interesting when you buy seed to plant in a garden. They always have the picture of the seed outside the package. Is that interesting? You know what you're planting. So when I'm looking at healing scriptures, I know I'm planting healing. And when I'm looking at prosperity scriptures and meditating, I know I'm sowing prosperity, a new mindset. When I'm looking at deliverance scriptures and freedom and fear, you know, that's been a generational curse, has been fear. So I look at scriptures. Anxiety is another thing our family can fight with. So I look at the anxiety. Oh, I just came across an awesome one on anxiety. Oh, my God. Oh, my, that's right on my list. It's, I can't tell you where it is, but it's in the Bible. It's Jeremiah 17:8, I think. It talks about you'll not be anxious for nothing and he's going to make you a tree. But anyway, so, you know, meditating on the word, it's something we maybe have lost that, meditating on the word. You know, in Psalm chapter 1, I want to just talk a little bit about meditation before I run out of time here. Praise the Lord. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the unscornful, but his delight is in the law, you could say, or in the word of the Lord. And in the law or word, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Remember Jesus talked about the fruit? Okay, this is good, That brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Oh, what a promise. Wow, so what's meditate? If you go back in the Hebrew word of meditate, I could have spoke to you in Hebrew, but I didn't look it up. But the Hebrew word meditate, if you look at the Hebrew origin, it means to mutter. It's taking a word and speaking it, muttering it, and whispering it to yourself. You know, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes. You know, the muttering and just meditating and thinking on. It's not always just painting a picture. It's muttering, it's memorizing, it's getting in you. I had a abscess tooth and went to the doctor and he said you should operate on this and that. And I remember that night going home and just meditating on by Jesus' stripes is healed. I meditated all night until I fell asleep. And I couldn't fall asleep, it was so much pain. But, in fact, I pounded a bunch of ibuprofen down to try to get to sleep. But I just kept meditating on, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Over and over and over, and I'd see the blood, I'd see the cross, I just meditated, meditated. About 2 or 3 in the morning, I woke up and felt the power of God go into that tooth. Yeah, that's what I did. Wow. Wow. Now, in my mind, I thought, well, I am so, I overdid the drugs, okay, the ibuprofen. I was in so much pain, and he had given me pills that didn't work. And I was like, oh, and then I went to ibuprofen, I combined the two, and so I didn't even know if I was hallucinating. You know? So I thought, well, I'll know when I get up. I believe that's the Lord, and I know when I'll get up. And I got up and never had that. I can't even tell you what tooth it was, so totally gone. Woo! Hallelujah. I sowed, I meditated, and the word of God came to pass. So I want to tell you the next dream I had. So recently, this is recent now. So I went through this series, and I'm getting a little better. And I'm just telling you where God's got me, okay? Now recently I have a dream. And I've been following the Lord's orders. I'm balancing my diet, okay? And I have this dream. This is a better dream. This dream wasn't quite as much frustration. It's better, but it wasn't completely like the Lord said. You're moving, you're getting a word in the Spirit, but you're not quite there yet. So in this dream, we're in an army jeep. And we're in an army jeep, and I don't want to get too many details, but there's another jeep following us. It's got 3 bad guys, and they got high-powered guns, okay? And they're going to shoot me. And I'm in the back of the open jeep, and one of my kids, I thought, was John here? I think John was driving. Well, one of the kids was driving anyway. And I get up, and I fire, and I get the first guy. And of course, the other two are shooting. Anyone seen the movie Matrix? I kind of enjoy this dream. That's why I like to share it. They shot at me, and in this movie Matrix, this guy's able to see bullets coming. He's able to go like that. And so bullets were coming at me. I went, that's really cool. I could see them. And when I shot, I was a little nervous about hitting a guy because we're riding, you know. But it's like I couldn't miss. See, that's the word of God. You can't miss. You think, am I seeing it right? You can't miss. So I'm going, wow. So I take them all 3 out. You know, it's just really cool. But in the dream, I'm really nervous. I'm nervous that there's more because I'm really kind of low on ammo. Okay? And I don't have much. I just got if trusting God, that should be enough. But what I felt the Lord is showing me, you're almost there. And actually, as I started putting some disciplines of getting back and reading the word the way I used to, I had a vision of a back of the Jeep filling full of ammo. I want lots of ammo, guys. I want full, if we're going to have war, I want to have lots of ammo. And this is your ammo. Okay? So get drunk, stay drunk, get others drunk, but get into the Word of God too. Now, let me just close. Let me start to close. I thank the Lord. We have put the chapters in the Bible, okay? And, we got Mark 4, Mark 5. Well, we did that for referencing. It wasn't written that way. I really encourage you to read Mark 4 and 5 together. I've been camped in Mark 5 for over 10 years, and I've preached out of it. It's precious. But in Mark 4, Jesus is preaching, the sower sows the word. And in 5, he starts doing the demonstrating. He speaks to the storm, okay? And I want to just finish with that. As you sow in your life, something happens in the realm of spirit. Jesus says he plants the seed. He does not know how it grows. I don't know how this happens. All I know is we sow the seed. We know who we are in Christ, and things happen, okay? So when Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee to Gadarenes, he just had to speak to the storm. I've been using that scripture for over 10 years. Speaking, I pray for a global peace like Iran or Iraq and all. I use that scripture, I speak to the hatred. I speak to the war. I speak to the whatever's going on. I say, peace be still. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee, spoke to the storm, said, peace be still, and it was calmed. And that's the way the Lord wants us to walk. He wants us to walk with that confidence that we can speak to storms and it'll be calm. But there's a getting in. There's a sowing. There's a moving in the Word of God, in the Spirit to get there. Okay? And it's a process. It's not a, I wish it was an overnight thing, but it's a process. Smith Wigglesworth said, it's actually out of the context we're using. Smith Wigglesworth was asked, how is it that you can move like this? How did you get there? How did it happen? Where'd you get this faith? He simply said in verse 4:28, for earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, starts out small, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. So it starts off with a seed. The sower sows the seed. And then we get a stalk of corn. We keep maturing, keep meditating, keep walking, keep moving in the Spirit, keep the buffet table balanced, keep our meal balanced. Then we get an ear of corn. Then comes the harvest. Whew, hallelujah. I'm going to close with... you have something you want to share? Okay, I'll make this really fast. I just think... I just want to emphasize the spoken word of God. Psalm 29, it talks about God speaking. And speaking to our situation, speaking to our lives. So many times we try to fight the enemy, and we try to do it with our mind. Okay, I'm guilty. And it's like, and I think Bob was saying it last week. I'm just kind of piggybacking what Bob was saying. We need to speak to these things. In 2005, I heard a word. My mind went, praise Lord. I heard a word. The voice of God strips the forest bare. The voice of God strips the forest bare. I heard it twice, but there again, it wasn't intense. I didn't really look it up. Duh. I don't know why I do things like that, but I heard it go, oh, that's a good word, yeah. So, on the first week in July of 2005, I am sitting at 5:20, I wake up, and it's like this uneasy feeling in my spirit. It's like, what in the world? It's like, I can't, you ever have that? You can't lay still. So I go downstairs, in a, we have a room that has a window facing the woods where I go to pray. And I go down there and sit. It's at about 5:20 to 5:30. I go, and it is somewhat kind of a storm coming, okay? And I go and sit down and go, "What, Lord? What's going on?" I sat there for probably 30 seconds looking out the window. It's dark yet. It's just starting to come. And all of a sudden, lightning strikes. Just the whole, do you ever get lightning close to your house? Yeah. Oh, I hadn't seen it for a lot of years. I actually saw a lightning bolt like that, right that close. You just kind of go, I mean, it's like, whew. And I just went, wow, you know. And I heard, "The voice of God strips the forest bare." Yes, Lord. I will look up that scripture now. So I spent the next hour just declaring that scripture, looking up that scripture. And the next week, I'll just kind of tell a story really fast. The next week, I'm with some guys, and I shared the story. I felt led to share it with some youth. And they said, "Well, did you go look where the lightning struck?" Because a lot of times there's a big hole in the ground. I go, "Gee, I never thought of it." So it's just right behind our house. I went up as a little kind of a ridge. I went up there that next week, and the lightning had struck a tree. And the lightning had blown every bit of bark off that tree. The voice of God strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone says, "Glory." Now, I got excited, and I went to Ukraine, did a whole conference on the voice of God. Okay? But I didn't feel a tremendous amount of anointing. I really actually think that may have been before its time. I think that word, "the voice of God strips the forest bare," that word is coming now. That which God wants to do with us. We're his kids. And he wants us to take his word and start declaring and start proclaiming. Just what Carrie was saying. And God wants to give us his voice. You know, in Genesis, 9 times, I looked last night, God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Now he wants us to sow the word into us. And he wants us to produce a harvest so we can go out and say, you know, "Cancer, in the name of Jesus, die." Now, we're as representatives, we're saying it's got to die. Whew, come on up. Okay. Otherwise, I'll never stop. Praise God. Shoo. No. Oh, he can turn it on.
It's on? Okay. Oh, I just felt the Lord prompt me to share this, just kind of piggyback what he's saying and help you in your faith with what you speak out of your mouth, the word. I was asking the Lord, I don't know how long ago, about confessing the word. You know, "Lord, do you really need to confess the word? Lord, is there power in doing that?" You know, because it is a discipline. You have to kill your flesh sometimes to do that. I don't know about you. I'm more silent sometimes and more think than speak. And so anyway, what he just said, the simple thing, he said, "My word is supreme." Hmm. And so I looked up, you know, sometimes if you look up the meaning of a word, it's like, it amplifies, it's like, wow, okay, oh, that's what that means. So I felt the Lord wanted me to share that. And so supreme means highest, greatest, final, ultimate, or let's see, highest, greatest. Yeah, highest, greatest, final, ultimate, highest authority and power. So for me personally, that has helped me so much. When I pray the word or speak the word, it's like, Lord gave me that revelation that, and then I think it says sovereign in there too, because I looked up sovereign, and sovereign means supreme, possessing absolute authority, superior to all. It rivals efficacious, producing the result intended. Isn't that good? Producing the result intended. It has supreme power and dominion. So now when you speak the word, you think, now, when I speak this, this has the final authority. It has the highest authority. So there's power in it. So I don't know about you, but I felt to share that because it's helped me so much when I do pray and speak the word. And the other another phrase the Lord gave me, I just heard one day, the Lord is very near you. The word is near you. And so I looked it up in Deuteronomy. It says, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart so that you can do it. But the part the Lord stuck out to me, it's in your mouth.
Wow.
So you need to speak it.
Wow. Wow. It's good. It's good. Praise God. Well, bless you. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.